From APM in New York, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. When the first tete-a-tete between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump kicks off on Monday, it will air on national television. The debate will also stream in places where political debates are constant and often heated, Twitter and Facebook. Streaming deals with Bloomberg, ABC, and the two social media companies aren't the only options to watch, but they offer potential for new revenue and attention. Kurt Wagner has been reporting on this for Recode. Hi, Kurt. What do social media companies get out of these deals?
Well, they get some great content, really. In this case for Twitter, they're getting live streams of the debate, which is going to be some of the, most highly anticipated live TV that we've had all year.
Uh-huh.
They have a similar deal with the NFL around some of their Thursday night football games. So this is the kind of stuff, that people build into their schedule, right? They make plans around these kinds of TV events. And so that's why Twitter wants to be associated with them. It's good to have that kind of attention.
What do networks get out of this?
It's a very good question, and I think it's one that these networks are going to be asking with regularity over the next couple of years as this continues. But ideally, they get more eyeballs, right? So if I'm watching the game on my phone on Twitter, maybe by the time I get home from work, I'm going to flip on the TV and actually tune in to CBS or NBC. So in some ways, this could be complementary. But, this is also an opportunity for Twitter to maybe steal a little bit of that share from those networks. So we'll see how the relationships unfold.
Sure.
But overall, I think we're kind of witnessing the transition of what we have known as traditional television. I don't think that we're going to be watching everything on Twitter or Facebook or over our, cell phones in the next 5 years necessarily, but certainly that's where the industry seems to be headed.
Kurt Wagner is senior editor covering social media for Recode. Kurt, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
We have all heard of the smart home by now, where your devices watch your home habits carefully and try to do everything from turning off the heat and the lights while you're away to reminding you to pick up milk when you are leaving work to head home. Well, how about something a little more nuanced, like mood adjustment? A team at MIT unveiled research this week that looks at using slight wireless signals to recognize emotions of people in a home by measuring their breathing and heart patterns. The system, called EQ Radio, is apparently 87% accurate at predicting if a person is joyful, angry, sad, or content. Applications, here's Dina Katabi, lead of the team at MIT.
So, for example, imagine like future homes would be able to detect if somebody is depressed and alert them to their emotional state. Or even like they could adjust the lighting and the music to suit our mood.
Dina Katabi of MIT's Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Lab. You can bet we asked her for her choice of music to brighten the mood. Her answer? Bobby McFerrin's Don't Worry, Be Happy. Me? I'll take some Flying Lotus. Tech talent is a precious resource for startups in Silicon Valley and beyond. Bigger companies move slower, they can have fewer free snacks, and they are thinking on a way different timeline. Example, AT&T. The company also needs to shift some of its business and the skill sets of its workers. It is focused on innovating like a startup. Just this week, it announced a new patented technology to deliver super fast internet speeds over power lines called Project AirGig. Joining us to talk tech and labor is John Donovan, Chief Strategy Officer and President of AT&T's Technology and Operations. John, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ben.
I know you've been working with Udacity to create certificate programs of a sort. Will someone who moves through these programs have a leg up in applying to work at AT&T?
So if you think about it, what we're trying to do with nano degrees is we're trying to give people full credit for what they know in life from experience or what they were previously educated on. So a nano degree, we would envision making someone who graduated in mathematics 20 years ago a very current data scientist.
Is part of that about trying to open up those pipelines and make them bigger in a world where tech talent is pretty hard to get in the door sometimes?
Yeah, you do the math of how many people need to have their jobs transformed in our company. We decided that we had remarkably talented people here that were fully committed to the company. Many cases, they would be second, third generation AT&T folks. And so we felt like we could reskill our workforce and do that more effectively. And then you don't really have to worry about things like cultural fit and some of those things that if you just hired for it would be, you know, concerns and impediments to you doing it successfully. So what we want to do is provide them the opportunities before we go outside.
So AT&T has been around for more than a century, making it one of the older tech companies. What do you think people don't realize about what the company is doing? Maybe using artificial intelligence or machine learning to make sure people are able to stay online when there are interruptions in service or that traffic is routed in an efficient way?
Well, any of the above. I'll give you a simple example. Your mobile phone has all of the information that a traffic system would need to more effectively inform the traffic lights for how to handle people that are leaving a basketball game. And so a lot of the things that we have done for decades in ways that were traditional, we're going to have an opportunity to improve them, and that'll simplify people's lives. And you have a lot of people that solve problems today that aren't solving them with the aid of the network, and we think that's going to change over time.
John Donovan, he is Chief Strategy Officer and President of AT&T Technology and Operations. John, thanks for chatting.
Thank you very much, Ben. Enjoyed being here.
More from us, as always, at MarketplaceTech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.